thank you very much for coming, everybody, bearing the cold weather. It certainly is a privilege to be able to share with you how the Lord Jesus has changed my life. It's absolutely a miracle. I'm standing before you today. An example of God's grace here at Charlottetown Bible Chapel. I can't believe it myself how I'm testifying of the Lord Jesus and his saving power, how he saved me from my sin. By way of introduction, I'm going to personalize a portion in Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 1. And then I'm going to be going over to Ephesians 2 and sharing my testimony based on those verses. So in 1 Timothy chapter 1, we see the Apostle Paul makes a few confessions, especially in verse 13. So don't be surprised when I personalize it, I change it to fit my story. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord. Is he your Lord? Tonight? Who has enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blank, blank, and blank. I'm wondering tonight, what can you put in there? The Apostle Paul, he certainly gets very personal in what he says. At the very least, I was a blasphemer, fornicator, and coveter. If you can't fill in the blanks with the things the Lord has saved you from, are you really saved? Or are you trusting in your own good works, which to God are like filthy rags? Isaiah 64, verse 6. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of the Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. When it says the grace of the Lord was exceeding abundant, it means the grace of the Lord was exceeding abundant. This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me, first as the chief, Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to encourage those who would thereafter believe on him to life everlasting. In other words, people could look at me and say, if the Lord Jesus saved him, he can save me because I'm not as bad as him. Now to the King of eternity, immortal, incorruptible, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 2. When I learned that when I'm sharing my testimony, I should be balanced between before conversion, during conversion, and after my conversion. The first three verses are before my conversion. Verses 4 to 9, during my conversion, and verse 10, after I was saved. Chapter 2. And you, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and has raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has ordained that we should walk in them. And ask the Lord for his blessing on tonight. Our God and Father, the one and only God, I pray your word would make us alive. I pray that we would enjoy you more from hearing from you. May everyone who has ears hear from you tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Before my conversion, Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 3. I'm going to read it again in the New Living Translation. Once you were dead, doomed forever because of your many sins. You used to live just like the rest of the world, full of sin, obeying Satan, the mighty prince of the power of the air. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passions and desires of our evil nature. We were born with an evil nature, and we were under God's anger, just like everyone else. Everybody in this room is either can say one of two things. That was me, or that is me. That was me. I grew up as a pagan. That is, non-religious at all. No God in the house. My earliest memories of Christians were, I had neighbors that were Christians, and I was just told and taught that they were weird. And I remember one of my best friends, he went to Catholic school, and he one day was telling me about Jesus, and I scoffed at him. Also, a memory of when I was in grade 8, I remember Jehovah's Witnesses coming to the door. I remember them talking about something that was interesting, that the world was going to be restored and be made beautiful again. And I was listening, but my dad scared him away. And I didn't think God was worthwhile knowing. I didn't care. I didn't put any value on God at all. And some of the things that growing up with growing up under the influence of the world, when you're not, when there's no authority. Just, I remember at a very young age, there being pornography in the home, being exposed to that at an extremely young age, and just growing up under the influence of the media. In the Bible, we read that the world is, I read it in Ephesians 2, that the world is run by the prince of the power of the air, the spirit at work in the sons of disobedience, that is the devil. And the whole world lies in the power of the wicked one, and the whole world is influenced by the evil one. And I was raised up like that, and as a result, I was my own God. I ended up just doing whatever I wanted to do. I remember saying, I'm the king of Josh Kaplan. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. And I was the absolute authority. I lived by my own standard. And that has serious consequences. I've heard it said, you can choose your choices, but you cannot choose the consequences of your choices. And I have to live with the consequences of my sin. I did in ignorance. I didn't know, but sin always leads to death. You can choose it, but that's the reality, that's the truth. Sin leads to death. Obedience to Christ leads to sanctification and eternal life. At the age of 17, I started discovering God the Creator. I had a friend named Dan, and he was bold and persuasive towards me. He tried to shake me, wake me up. He was trying to convince me. He was raised in a Christian home, and he was trying to convince me of a creator, of an intelligent designer. And he would say things like, Josh, wake up. Can't you see that there's a God? Can't you see that, like, the sun rises every morning, and at night there's the moon, and we have four perfect seasons, and how everything's just perfect? And he'd use illustrations like, oh, do you see that car? He's like, obviously that car had an inventor. There was some kind of design behind it. And then he would say, well, look at the dragonfly, man. Can't you see that's like highly more intelligently designed than the car? Obviously, there's a creator. So Dan was used by the Lord to get my mind thinking, and I was really thinking, you know, maybe there is a creator. And that's what really kind of got the ball rolling. At the same time, I had a friend, Alex, who was interested in this Christian girl, and he started going to church because he was interested in her, and I decided, hey, I'll go with him. And kind of thinking on his lines, like I might meet a girl there or something. And that was my first time in a church when I was about 17. And I don't remember anything from the messages. Didn't affect me. Didn't change my life. At the same time, I had received a job doing labor for a stucco company. And I started working with this older Scottish man named Joe Dempsey. And Joe, he was a Christian man. And I didn't even really know what a Christian was at this point. And he never really explained the gospel to me, but he was a man of God. And he was a man of integrity. And he would say things like, as we're driving to work, oh, this is God's country. And he really loved me. And he really was a good example. And meanwhile, Dan was convincing me to read the New Testament, so I was reading the New Testament at all, but nothing really stuck out at me. And so this was all around the same time, and when I was 17 or 18. And one time also, another event that happened, God was trying to wake me up, is I was downtown on the streets in a drunken state, and I don't know where I'd be today, but there was a Christian street worker who took care of me. that night. He saw me, obviously, that I was in need, and he made sure that I was okay. And he gave me Bibles, and I didn't do anything with the Bibles. I probably threw them away or something, but I mean, that impacted me. There was also another time where I used to work after my stucco job. I got a job at a sporting goods store, and I used to steal stuff from work. I just did whatever I wanted to do. There was no absolute authority. But anyway, one time I woke up in the morning and I had this affliction on the back of my hands, purple dots all over the back of my hands. And I went to the doctors. They called it erythema multiforme. Don't know how it comes, where it comes from, but it was disgusting. And just on the back of my hands. And I remember thinking, whoa, there's a God and he's trying to tell me to stop stealing. These hands are his. Still, that didn't change my life. But I started to be under conviction, and I knew that certain things that I was doing was wrong, and I wanted to change my life. I thought, for example, like, I don't want to dwell too much on the before conversion, but I think it's important. Like, I had a drug addiction, and I knew I wanted to get rid of it. I knew that was wrong because I used to condemn people for smoking drugs. I used to think smoking was bad. I thought I was good. And I remember when I was about 14, I was like, I'm never going to do something like that. But then I'm 17, 18, and all of a sudden I'm involved in it, and I want to change. I don't want to be enslaved to it anymore, but I can't help it. I need it, and I had no power to deliver myself from it. I was enslaved to it, and I was constantly failing myself. And I went to Spain for school, and I thought going to Spain, that was going to change my life. I thought, you know what, I'm going to go over there, I'm going to clean up my life. I'm going to get good grades, I'm going to stop doing drugs, and, you know, going over there didn't change anything. And it wasn't until I was 23 years later, I was humbled, broken, I was sick and tired of my life, and I wanted to go for a walk to clear my head, to figure out what life was about. I was like fed up with it, and I was confused. I don't know why I was here, what's the point of this existence? And so I went for a walk to clear my head, and I ran into a guy I knew from work. I used to serve him, and his name was Terry. I knew his dad just passed away, so I said, sorry to hear about your dad. And so we started talking, and it was middle in the afternoon, and we talked for hours. And I remember walking along the pier with him, and I was like pouring out my heart to Terry, and I was like, you know, I just don't understand this life. And I just can't believe in evolution, you know, like, got this encyclopedia of animals and evolutionists wrote it, and I just can't put the pieces together. And I had no idea he was a Christian, but he shared with me that his testimony that night, and we talked for so long, it ended up being the evening, and the moonlight was shining, and he shared how he came to trust in the Lord, how he called out to the unknown God, and the God of the Bible revealed himself to him and shared with me the glory of God in history. And he asked me if I wanted to change, and I said, yeah. And I remember thinking that night, you know, maybe Jesus did rise from the dead. I remember looking at the moonlight reflecting against the water, the twinkling of the light reflection. And I remember thinking it wasn't such a far-fetched idea that Jesus rose from the dead. I don't even know where I remember hearing that from, where that thought just came from somewhere. And that was kind of like the turning point. And Terry gave me the book by Rick Warren, Purpose Driven Life. And it was amazing how you're supposed to go through one chapter a day for 40 days. And it was amazing how I did that for 40 days, and while I was doing that, I was clean for those 40 days. And that was, amazing. That was, and so there was some, a new, that the Word of God, had the answer. And the reason why I share, excuse me a sec. I just want to share all this because, it's interesting how the Lord has used so many different people in so many different circumstances to woo me to himself and over a long period of time. And I was thinking about how God uses all these different types of evangelism to draw us to himself, and how I'm thinking maybe there's a Joe out here, like a Joe that I had, someone who just witnessed by their actions, someone who you work with. And you just put you love on them. Or maybe you're a Dan, where you're actually trying to convert people, trying to convince them that there's a God. Or maybe you're one of the unknown street ministers out there that sees someone in need and puts your loving arm around them and encourages them to turn to the Lord. Or maybe you're an Alex who brings one of your best buddies to church. Or maybe you're a Terry, maybe you're one of those people, and I'm sure this happened to many of you, where, Terry was walking, he had no idea what he was doing, going by his own business, and then I show up and I'm I'm pouring my heart to him. And so Dan, Alex, and I, we had this spiritual quest, all individual journeys. Alex, at this point, from 17 to 20, Alex is really being interested in spiritual things. Alex is being discipled by a Jehovah's Witness at this time, and he's actually learning a lot of the Bible. And so Alex kind of takes me under his wing to study the Watchtower magazines, and it seemed like it was pretty laid out, pretty clear. But Dan hears about this, and he was raised in a Christian home, and he knows the truth, and he was telling us, you got to throw away the Watchtower stuff. He was saying that stuff is from the pit of hell. And Dan arranged for Alex and I to get together with this man that lived by faith named George. And I always thought that was interesting, how this guy just trusts in the Lord to provide and checks just come in the mail. And so we had this meeting with this Christian man, Dan, Alex, and I, and Dan's parents. And that's where I really met God, the judge. And George asked me a question that night. He asked me, what do you think the will of God for you is? And I'm going to ask you that. What do you think God's will for your life is? And I think I said to be good or to obey him. And George said to me, God's will for you is to die. And that's when I started to realize that I was in trouble. I was chatting with Bud McDougal this week, and he was saying before he was converted, I think it was Perry Rockwell sat him down and said to him, hey buddy, something like this, hey buddy, you're on your way to hell. What are you going to do about it? And that's what Ephesians 2 is talking about, is that it says you are dead in trespasses and sins, and God is just. And that wasn't long after that I met God the Savior. And that's described in Ephesians 2, 4 to 9. I'm going to read it. But God So rich is he in his mercy, because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which he loved us, even when we were dead, slain by our own sin, by our own shortcomings and trespasses, he made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. He gave us the very life of Christ himself, the same new life with which he quickened him. For it is by grace, his favor and mercy, which you did not deserve, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation. And he raised us up together with him and made us sit together, giving us joint seating with him in the heavenly sphere by virtue of our being. In Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One, he did this that he might clearly demonstrate through the ages to come the immeasurable, limitless, surpassing riches of his free grace, his unmerited favor, in his kindness and goodness of heart toward us in Christ Jesus. For it is by free grace that you are saved through your faith, and this salvation is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Shortly after the meeting with the Christians, with George and Alex and Dan, we started a Bible study, and we were seekers. I personally was really interested, and the Word of God, as I was reading it through, the verses were really hitting me hard. And that's when, you know, I really understood the good news. That God's love provided what God's justice demanded. Remember Isaiah 53 really impressed me on how I learned that it was written 700 years before Christ. And I was amazed about this and how this is living, and this is God's word to us. And I was amazed how in verse 4 it says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We read that all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And that's when I learned, you know, how good God is, that he came down in Jesus Christ to die for me. And, you know, that's when I started to love the Lord, because of his love toward me. And, you know, because of what he did, what he accomplished on my behalf. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin was made sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That God's justice is satisfied in Christ, but then his love is stretched out to us as well. And 1 Peter 2:24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. And 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also suffered once for sin, the just for the unjust, in order to bring us to God. Like, praise the Lord. Jesus is Lord. In 1 Corinthians 1-3, he died for our sin. He was buried, and he rose again from the dead. So it was at that point where I went from being my own Lord, walking my own way, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. No, I repented. I turned around, and now I realized I was wrong, and now Jesus was my Lord, is my Lord. And a whole new orientation of life. I love how God gives his people a fresh start. You know, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. And I'm discovering more and more, even as day by day, it's like I get a fresh start every day. And after that, I was shortly baptized. Shortly after that, I was baptized. About a few months after, signifying that Jesus died for my sin. And I was buried with him. All my sins were buried with him. And my sins were judged in Christ. And Christ has given me a new life. And during my conversion, you know, God saved me from the penalty of my sin. Where there was wrath, there was anger. Now, I was brought to have peace with God. And after my conversion, God saved me from the power of sin. Ephesians 2, verse 10, after my conversion. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. You know, it is true, God is true to his word. Matthew 1:21, his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And it wasn't long after I accepted the good news that God's Holy Spirit started working in my life, and I started to become really convicted. And God miraculously saved me from obvious sins that I was committing. And if I say it was a miracle, was it hard? Absolutely. It was probably the struggle with sin, and it was really hard. And like, I knew that I was forgiven. I knew that God's righteousness had been imputed to me, but it wasn't really being lived out. Like, according to my outward actions, it was still the same, and there was a real battle. And I was still doing the things that I was doing before, except I was really more grieved about it. And just one of the things that helped me, that was a real difference in my life, was confessing what I was doing to my spiritual mentor. You know, I was still smoking, and I was really convicted about it, and one of the hardest things I ever had to do, and it still is humbling. And, you know, I still do. You know, that's why I love dear brothers who you can count on, you can confess your sin to. And I think ultimately we have to confess our sin to the Lord, but for me, confessing my sin to a brother who I can confide in has really given me victory. And as a new believer, I confessed it to George, and it was one of the hardest things I had to do. Say you're struggling, and it's one of the best things you can do. I remember sharing with George. I said, George, you know, I'm still smoking dope. And, you know, it's disappointing to him, you know, but he pointed me to the Word. And I was somehow justifying it, thinking that I was still okay doing it. Then he showed to me in the Word that it was wrong, in Galatians 5. He was like, exactly that word sorcery is the kind of word where we get drug use. And if you think you're getting closer to God when you're on drugs, you're fooling yourself. You're cutting yourself off from relationship with God. And in Galatians 5, and he showed from in God's word that it was wrong, and how to go from being wrong to being made right. He said, turn to 1 Corinthians 10:13. So I turned it, and he got me to read it, and it said, no temptation has overtaken you, such as common to man. God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond your ability. He always provide a way of escape. And he was like, turn to Matthew 11, 28. And he was like, you know what you need? You need to just come to Jesus. Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So instead of going to drugs, you know, just the solution is in God's word here. And so as a baby, newborn Christian, he really nurtured me to rely on God's word. And as a result of being obedient to the word, being obedient to a spiritual mentor, I was set free. The word of God. And it's like there was Dan and Alex, who I was baptized with, but there's another man named Tyler as well. And he came out to a Bible study with us that we were having, and he heard the good news and received it and was saved. I think he made a profession. We all made professions. And, you know, out of the four of us, I was the only one that really got serious about confessing and forsaking my sin. And, you know, and like those guys, you know, to this day, like, they're still struggling with it. You know, and like, it just thinks about, like, I don't want to boast or anything. I'm not boasting. It's just like, it's only God's work in me. Like, it's only God put that desire in me to do that. It was like, I had to confess it or else, like, God was going to, like, strike me down right there. That's what I felt like. And I don't know why that God didn't impress it upon them like that. But it's like, going off the path at an early age, or being on the path, you know, eventually it's like 5 years now, you know, and it's like they haven't grown or anything. They're still like, you know, and it's just sad because it's not that, you know, they made professions and, you know, I think they're saved, but they're not enjoying God. You know, we're created, God, the Lord Jesus, is the most enjoyable thing ever, person. And I don't know, I praise the Lord, you know, his grace, I'm like, I'm enjoying the Lord, and so they're just missing out on blessing, and, you know, I've really experienced how making decisions to honor the Lord in my walk. And God has really honored me and blessing me. And it's amazing. I can't believe it. I don't deserve, like, to be here with all you guys in Charlottetown. Like, I can't describe, like, how much of a blessing it is to be out here. And it's only by God's grace. And really looking forward to heaven. And just reading... I was listening to something by John Piper, and he was describing heaven, and like, what is heaven going to be like? And God is most enjoyable, and like, the things of the world go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace we've been singing. And Piper describes, like, imagine being able to enjoy what is most enjoyable, and God is most enjoyable. He is the most enjoyable. There's nothing that gives you greater joy. He said he's the bread of life and, like, he's the living water. And it's like enjoying the thing that is most enjoyable, which is God. The thing that you enjoy most, like, God is way more enjoyable than anything. It's like being able to enjoy God, what is most enjoyable, with unbounded energy and passion forever. That's what heaven's going to be like. God, we're brought to God, and we're going to enjoy him forever. So, let's encourage you to, you know, like, as a witness, to taste and see that the Lord is good. The Lord is so good. If you're not saved, here tonight, and you're kind of confused on how to be saved, what you have to do is, first of all, admit that you're a sinner. You have to abandon your own efforts, because the Bible says it's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but by his mercy. There's nothing that you can do. Another thing you have to do is acknowledge Christ's payment. And God is only satisfied with Christ's payment, and God is satisfied with Jesus' death for you. And accept Christ as your Savior to enjoy eternal life, which is to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. A dear song, I'd like to sing, close in singing a song. It's Psalm 73 in the red book. It's verse 3. I think it says, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. It is well with my soul.